Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
As you know, we're still exploring prayer and looking at ways in which we can engage in prayer, and there's going to be different things that resonate with different people, and we've looked at a bunch of different things. And today we're going to continue that journey and going to be looking at hearing from Josh and also Jemima about some things that have worked in their life. Because who likes things that work?
Yes.
Right, yeah, good. All right, so we're going to hear about some things that have actually worked for these guys and an elaboration of that. So why don't we put our hands together for the great Josh Sale?
Awesome. Cool, I just thought it would be a really good idea to just kind of let you guys in and tell you what we've been learning about at Youth. Over the last kind of month, we've been looking at prayer as well, and we've been looking at this idea of group prayer and what group prayer is and what corporate prayer is and how it's a biblical concept and everything like that. So it says in Acts 2:42, it says, it was basically looking at the early Christians and the first Christians, and it says they devoted themselves to fellowship and they devoted themselves to prayer. So they were constantly praying together as a group. And so we've been looking at this at Youth, what it means to pray together. And we realize that although we love prayer and we want to pray and we agree that prayer is a good thing, sometimes it's we don't know what to pray. Like sometimes we get together and it's like if we're to be put in the spotlight or put on the spot, it's like, oh, maybe prayer is a bit of a scary thing sometimes. Like even though we want to pray and it's a good thing, it's like, what do we pray? How do we pray? That kind of thing. So, yeah. So I'm just going to talk about a bit about that this morning. And I remember the first time I had to pray out loud in front of my friends and in front of just even people I didn't even know. And it was a bit of a scary thing. I was put on the spot. We were at church and I was pretty young. I was just like a young teenager or something. And I was probably like 14. And we were in a church meeting and it was like, okay, now we're going to get in pairs and we're going to pray for each other. And I was like, oh, what do I do? What do I say? And I got linked up with it was like our worship pastor. And he was like this really cool guy and stuff. And I was like, I got to pray for him. I don't know what to say. Like, yeah, so it kind of freaked me out. I'm still like a bit embarrassed. Like, I kind of remember what I said, but I know it was really bad. And it was like, that didn't make sense. Like, what was that? So that's, yeah, where we're going with this morning. So I'll just share for a couple of minutes. But first, just check out this video. This might sum it up.
Green or blue, right below signs, I love you.
But this is a fact that you're not even close to me.
I don't wanna keep thinking you're just make-believe.
I just wanna hear a sweet voice whisper in my ear,
asking if I'm here, asking the same question. Whoa, whoa. Question. I don't wanna be when you're somewhere else, baby. Whoa, whoa, without me. I don't wanna spend another second without you here.
So I don't need to say too much more. If you don't know what to pray, you just got to remember Acts. So Acts, adoration, confession. Yeah, not cats. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So adoration, it's when our heart comes into the place of worship. And it's when we, I guess, adore God. That's where that word comes from, adore. It's like my wife, I could tell her I love her and how she's awesome, how beautiful she is, how great she is, how much she means to me. It's like saying that to God. It's just like, God, we love you. You are everything. It's when we describe God. It's when we tell him how big he is, how, like, just be specific in describing him and telling him how amazing he is. It's scripture after scripture after scripture that talks about adoration. And then we can go to confession, and that's when our hearts come to a place of honesty or repentance, and when it's like we're together and it's like, God, we just haven't got it all together. This is who we are. This is what we've done. And then we were going this way, and Lord, we need to go this way. Just help us to change. Help us to turn around. So you got adoration, confession, and the next one's thanksgiving. Actually, going back to confession, it says in James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. So confession is such a powerful one and such a biblical one that we don't do enough, I don't think, as a group. So thanksgiving, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. That's when our hearts come to a place of gratefulness and we're just so thankful to it. I don't know, God has done so much for us, and it's, we can just come to that place where we look around and we can just thank God for the things that he's done. And yeah, and then there's supplication. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayers and supplications, make your requests be made known to God. So you can go through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That's where we can be specific about needs and really ask God for things. I remember a few years ago, we were in this prayer meeting, and someone in the prayer group had someone, a friend that had been in a coma, and that'd been in there for quite some time, and it was like looking like a really kind of a dark place. And we were just in this prayer meeting, we were praying, and as we were praying for this person, we got a phone call as we were praying that they'd just come out of it. And so there's real power in praying corporately and coming together in prayer. So we can go through all these things. If you don't know what to pray sometimes, especially in a group, if you're in that point where you're like, oh, we've got to pray, you can just think Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And supplication's awesome. Like my cousin came along, he was going through he had a few health problems and issues, and he hadn't had a job for like a year, and he was struggling to get a job. And he just was going in down spiral basically, and he wasn't even like a believer, but he came along. And that's when God really smashes people, when they're in a place of desperation. We got together and we prayed, and he got a job like just the week after. So it's really cool. And Ev, like, she's seen heaps of people healed just by praying and going to that place of supplication and just making requests to God. So it's so powerful. It's like these gears that we can go in. It's like we can start with adoration, confession, thanksgiving. We can go back to adoration. So yeah, hopefully that clip spoke to you. Having said all of that, prayer isn't a formula. It's not something we can put into four things. It should always come from the heart. Like in that place of adoration, when we sing the words that are on the screen or when we're praying together, every word that we say should just really come from the heart. Like every single word should be felt, heartfelt. And if you hang around with me long enough, you'll hear me say this, that everything comes down to intimacy with God. If you want to go somewhere in life or make a difference in this world, everything comes down to that intimacy, that adoration, that thanksgiving and supplication. It comes down to knowing who God is, knowing your maker. And it comes to that place where your inner man has to become more stronger than your outer man, where you just can't wait to get to prayer because you know God wants to do stuff. So, yeah, if you come along 9:30 on a Sunday morning to prayer, you know, there's never any pressure to pray, but, you know, just remember Acts and you'll be set. So, cool. Thanks, guys.
That's cool. Thanks, mate. All right, youth. Well done, all you star performers. You guys are welcome to go with Josh. Just wanted to make sure all the youth guys got to see and hear that clip and hear Josh. So can we put our hands together again for Josh and Ev? Youth, off you go. They had a youth night last Saturday night, and kind of open up the fridge, and there's this jelly mould, and there's jelly with pens and paper clips, Jemima's pens, set paper clips and stuff set in jelly. I'm just like, oh, yes, go the youth, because they weren't my pens, they were Jemima's pens. I'm like, yeah.
And silly string all over.
Yeah, silly string everywhere. So Josh looks after our youth, and Jemima with Louise Roundtree, they look after the young adults here at Compass. So I think you guys need to listen and put your hands together for Jemima.
All right, so we all have those friends that we love hanging out with, that we love spending time with, couldn't just spend hours hanging out with, yeah? Can you think of someone? Just that person, it's just easy, and you could just hang out with for hours, and something more yardy and feel like this, we see it right here, that you might not have seen them for years, and no time has passed. And maybe you're sitting waiting for them at a cafe and that, oh, you get a text message. Hi, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. Or something else, Holly, thanks. All right, sure. And that happens, doesn't it? That's based here. That, all right, well, they're late. That's fine. We're hanging out. We're expecting someone to come. We're waiting for someone to come. But that friend that you can't wait to hang out with, it's like you haven't seen them for years and it's like no time has passed. And maybe you might even... You know, you haven't changed a bit. Nothing's changed between you, and it's just great, and you love hanging out. That friend that maybe you can just sit and laugh, talk for hours, but then also on the flip side, just sit in silence. And it's comfortable, it's not awkward. Just that friend you can just hang out with. Sometimes with friendships as well, something I hate is confrontation, and I avoid it as much as possible. I try to be peaceable, you know, just to be calm. But sometimes with friends, you might need to say, hey, when you did this, it actually upset me, or whatever. You need to confront, you need to say, you know what, that kind of wasn't cool. Maybe someone's done that to you, and you need to listen, hear each other out, work through it, and move on. And how I relate to God is like a friendship, that I can just hang out with God, that when I come meet with him, I expect him to come. He's not going to text me and say, Mom, I can't make it today, sorry. Hope you have a good day. No, he's going to come and he's going to meet with me. And I can just sit and I can just talk with him for hours or just hang out, not necessarily talk. Sometimes I've had to chat with God about stuff and go, but I don't get it, God. Why did you allow that? I don't understand it. And you can use all sorts of language and all sorts of frustrations and you can get upset with God and you can tell God that, I'm not happy with this, and you can take it. And you can just talk to God, your father, your friend, however you want. Sometimes that I find that I sit in silence and I just sit with God and just be. And not necessarily have to talk all the time and have to have something to say because maybe God wants to say something to me. And if I don't give that time just to sit and be silent, then I'm not allowing that space for God to speak or for God to maybe calm my spirit if something is frustrating me or allowing him to give me some clarity if something needs to be figured out. Prayer is different for everyone. There's a different method or rhythm that I guess in these recent times we're encouraging you guys to find that sometimes it changes as well. It's not the same. The reason, I guess, why I come to God and how I come to God, I think of his word and I go, but God, in your word, it says to come to you with all kinds of prayers and requests, all kinds. So it can be from the littlest thing to the biggest thing. And for different people, the level of significance with certain areas is different. So I don't know. It can be from, for you, from finances to or kids' school fees to... an orthodontist appointment, to a sore back, to a health problem. It can be to a really like this particular thing to happen, but God, am I worthy of it, you know? But, you know, God cares for our needs and God knows the desires of our hearts. And the Word says as well that we don't have to come to God with speaking eloquent words and fancy big words. So it doesn't matter if you, thus saith the Lord, here I have come. And you can just hang out with God and talk to him just like you would a friend. You're not going to meet your friend in a cafe and you have to be someone else that you're not. You can just hang out and be yourself. And often when I just sit with God and chat with him, but God, in your word, it says that you're attentive to my prayer, that you hear. And I remind God sometimes of what his word says, because the word says as well that his word does not return to him void. So when you speak to God, what he's already written in his word, he has to act on it. Do you know? He's not going to lie. He's not going to say, I'm going to control Z that one, and it's not going to happen. He's gonna see it through. And look, it might not necessarily happen in the timing that you want it to, but God will move and he will act. And the word also says that he doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber, that he's not just going to take a time out on you and just hang back, that he's with us all the time, that we can call upon him whenever we like. My prayer life is not easy. And if you talk to any of the leaders here at church, the rhythm is different and it can be frustrating. I guess in recent times, my situations and circumstances have changed, whereas what used to work maybe for the past, I don't know, year or so may not necessarily work now. And then having different commitments like everyone does, working two jobs, having some evening commitments and having some things to do during the week that's sort of a must, you sort of try and think, where and how do I find my prayer, my time with God? And where do I fit it in? And I guess things have changed. And from what used to be morning, sitting there with notebook, Bible, cup of tea, always the cup of tea, sitting there and just chilling with God, then maybe having to allow maybe an hour or so to get to work in the morning. And so time gets shifted and time gets taken from you. So where do you place it and how do you fit it back into your life? Years ago, what used to work for me and how I used to spend my time with God is go running in the evenings just for stress relief and just to hang out with God. So you just go for a run and the sun was still up, or sometimes wasn't. I used to go running and just hang out with God and I'd come back and I'd feel better. I can't do that now because my lifestyle has changed and that's not how I can do life now. Other times I would, all right, all the babies, just let it out. It's all good. Other times I would wake up in the morning and I wasn't hitching. Holly, stay here and just hang it. Access all areas for Ryan. Access all areas. Just, there is. We're family, yeah? We're just hanging out. We're just having a cup of tea, yeah? We're just cool. All right. So I've got to redeem that friendship later, maybe, I think. So what used to work for me but years ago was getting up in the morning and going for a walk, and I'd go to this hill near where I lived, and there was this old farm up there, but there wasn't any cattle or animals, so I don't know. There's an old farm up there, but there was no one up there, and it's just this big block of land. And there was always some wild rabbits and hares out of their burrows and in and out of things. So I was just in nature and I would just sit on a log and I'd just hang out and just pray and just chat to God with no distractions. And gee, I wish I could have that secret place now, but I don't. So then what is it that works for me? Just continually finding that. Other times, maybe when I'd have a day off or something, I would drive to the beach and just hang out and just take my Bible and just take my notebook and just sit there and hang out and see what happens. I'd find God there when I'm frustrated, and I'd either be in the mountains or at the beach, and I'd sit and I'd go, look at the waves and look at the sand, and I'd go, you know, God, if you created all of this, then surely you can work through and sort out situations in my life, because that's cool. Man can't do that, you know, and I just come back and go, that's God, and God controls my life, and you're in control of my life, so just come, and my time with God, maybe we would just be there undisturbed. Other times, in recent times, like I said, just sitting with God and having a cup of tea and reading my Bible or just having that time and then delving into his word and just picking a scripture and reflecting on that in the day. But other times you get distracted and you go, oh, hang on, I've got to get that gift for someone. and oh, I forgot to pack that. And you just things, and maybe your phone is ringing, so you just got to put it on silent, put it away. And different thoughts and things come and distract you because you just want to spend time with God. And then, of course, these things can take your attention, but you've just got to set some time aside just to hang out. Other times I sit and I'm just getting frustrated sitting down, just not working. So I have to get up and I have to pace. And so these days what I'm finding maybe is in the evening after the day is finished, spend a bit of time in the morning, but at night just switch off and just hang out with God and just pace up and down and just chat and then pray. And this prayer just sort of comes and it just sort of a bit more, it's dark and it's just me and God and you're just hanging out and you might be sorting through something. You might be praying about someone or a situation in your life or trying to figure something out, or telling God, you know, God, that's not cool and I don't get it and why did that happen? But, you know, your word says this, so I'm going to trust you. And in my notebook here, and here's where I say it's not a diary and it's not just for girls. Guys can write too. So in here, I guess, there's all sorts of things I just scribble down and it's scribbled most of the time as well. And it's not necessarily about this is my day and this is what's happened. But sometimes I've put a scripture and I'm reflecting on it. And then I might say maybe how this is going to apply for my life or how does this apply to me? What am I going to do with it? Other times it's a prayer going, just me and God, just figuring it out and just doing life together. That God, I desire this, I desire to know you more, or help me to be more others focused, or again, more scriptures. Or sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm going, hey, wouldn't it be cool to do this one day? And wouldn't it be? So I write it down and I maybe say times of when maybe I want that to happen. So I set down goals for my life and sometimes just prayer points as well. Oh, yeah, look, with this particular cousin, or school's too, oh, man, that's just massive. And sometimes distractions and things that I'm worried about, I'll write it down and then pray for that stuff. Other times as well, I go, you know what, sometimes it's cool to praise God for stuff. So sometimes I just sit there, you know what, you've got to be thankful for something. Like, God's doing something, obviously. So I'll write down stuff. And you know what, God, thanks for this and thanks for this. Because sometimes the city, I just get distracted. So I've got to write it down and focus my eyes on something and my attention on something. Sometimes it's distraction. So I'm writing down all the things that I need to do. And look, that's there in the old holy journal. Not so much. And sometimes it's things I'm figuring out. God, I don't know what to do about this situation or this thing I'm trying to figure out with this particular person. And look, having a record, and I've got books and books of stuff that it's finished, okay, get another one, and to look back on things and go, oh man, I was really frustrated at that, and man, that kind of stuff doesn't push my buttons anymore. I don't react as I would have then, and you see growth in your life. Or you look back and you go, oh man, I brought that to you, and do you know what, that's actually worked itself out now, but not a coincidence. God, you did that. Why? Because I prayed about it. And then for me, what's worked is to look back on it and go, I've recorded just life and what's happened, and I reflect and go, well, that was you, God, and I see him at work, and it encourages me to know that God is active and actively working in my life, and I can reflect on it and see how I've grown in my walk or in life and how things might not frustrate me as much as they used to, and then, or maybe something's, how come I'm always going through this? Well, maybe I haven't dealt with it, and maybe I've got to figure it out and work on God with this area of an attitude or frustration that I need to allow God to work on. And so I see it in writing, and I go, well, we've got to do something about that so this doesn't come around again. I also have a friend that keeps me accountable. Her name's Esther, and I text her every day, and this is something that we chatted about in church a few weeks ago. Just to say, pick a place and a time and text or email that friend when you've completed what you've done. And sometimes those texts to Esther have been, and it's just frustrating, and I just feel like this, and I don't feel like I come to God. And it's just, sometimes we meet up and chat, and sometimes it's a text back, or sometimes I just go, done, and she knows. Or she'll go, hey, haven't heard from you. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you that everything's going fine. But I tell her my frustrations because we've got to be real about it, you know. And it's vulnerable for me to come and share with you because it's like, this is really personal, man. Like, this is my relationship with God here. But I just want you guys to understand the importance of just hanging out with God and spending time with him and finding your own rhythm, because what's working for me or what's worked for me won't necessarily for you. that walking with someone, because you share your struggles and what, hey, this is working for me, and then that person will encourage you to keep going in that way, that approaching God as a friend, just hanging out, you know, and he's going to be there when you come. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's not going to text you and say that he can't come. He's with you at all times. He doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber. If you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep. Sometimes, God, do you want to say something to me? Well, do it quick, because I'm really tired and I want to sleep. So, yeah, I might just get up again, make a cup of tea and just hang out and just read his word. And then maybe something that had been frustrating me as I was trying to go to bed, committed to God, waking up again, and it's there. And just let allow God's spirit to just bring peace, and then somehow manage to fall asleep quite quickly after that, you know. But just allowing God to do something rather than maybe switching on the TV or something like that. And I just want to encourage you guys as well not to compare your walk and your prayer life with other people, because what will work for Jenny won't work for me, and what will work for Moyadi won't work for Jacinta. You know, it's different for everyone. But I encourage you to just to be open maybe with at least one other person about how your walk is going with God, and whether it is your life leader or someone in your life group that you can see often, and just let them know, oh man, I'm struggling, this is hard. Or let them know, this is cool, I found my rhythm. So together with my friend Esther, just working through, okay, what's going to work for me now, and how am I going to keep it up, and just see God working. So this is what works for me, and I hope you find something that works for you, because it's cool. And just keep on keeping on. Don't stop. And then don't feel guilty that you haven't spent time with God, because then when you meet with him again, it'll be like no time has changed, because God doesn't change.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Jemima. Hopefully you got something out of that. And question, like, what's going to take for you to actually pray more or get on board prayer? I mean, does it have to take a crisis for you to go, oh, God, help? But yeah, what's it going to take? I think, you know, we want to be the kind of people that are praying with the same level of passion, fervency, desperation when things are going well as it is when things aren't going well. And that's the kind of people I believe we should be. Now, it's hard to maintain that level of genuine intensity, because if you don't have a crisis going on, but it's just our heart of acknowledging, God, I need you. I want you in my world. I'm crying out to you. And, you know, we're presenting lots of different ways and means. So guess what? You are without excuse. If you've been around, and if you want to listen to the podcast, ignorance is no excuse. You have no excuse. We've been presenting lots of different options. We've been talking about silence and sitting in silence and the importance of that. Talking about Lectio Divina, divine reading, reading the Word of God and God speaking to you through that, and just sitting and meditating on that. And Visio Divina, that stuff about using images and pictures, paintings, whatever it might be, a landscape, whatever, for God to speak to you, however you're wired and whatnot, whatever kind of really resonates for you. Just talking about, you know, sort of like how we are with an axe model or using words, etc., and things like that. Now, I think a lot of people really enjoy or prefer kind of the quieter, you know, the quieter, the sedate, the meek and mild, you know, 8 pounds, 6 ounce baby Jesus. Like, we just like the quiet stuff. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. And verse 7. So before you roll your eyes and go, oh, here we go, charismatic, penty Phil, here we go, whatever. But let just bear with me here. That is not a nickname that you are now allowed to give me, okay? It just... Okay. Cleno. Mate, you're supposed to have my back, buddy. Okay, are we there? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. He learned obedience from what he suffered, but the bit here that I want to focus on is during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. And so before I get kind of all swing from the chandeliers Pentecostal on you, what I'm trying to say is that just as silence and that quiet meditative space in silence is valid and it's real and it's meaningful, so is actually lifting up your voice and making that prayer, that praise, that adoration, that request known to God. So if you are more comfortable over here, then all I want to do is just encourage you, challenge you to say that there is another space that maybe you are yet to enjoy and to understand the dynamic power that can come through making noise. I mean, you know, we, boys, it's maybe easier than girls, but, you know, like we just love making noise, love making crash, bang, wallop, whatever, but whatever it is for you. But if you're more comfortable in this space over here and it's like all about the noise, then I think you need to maybe spend some more time over here and just chill and just enjoy God's presence in silence. And so I think there's got to be a balance in what I'm saying. Does that make sense? So I'm not trying to push us all over here so that we're all kind of crazy, screaming, kind of, you know, Christians, because I think both forms of prayer are valid, and we see that in Jesus' life. And so here we're told that in Jesus' life, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. And this actually shows us, it's trying to tell us that Jesus prayed with real passion, with real intensity, with real fervor. His heart was totally in his prayers. And we see it again in Luke 22:44. It says he prayed more earnestly. It's just like he was pouring himself out. In Matthew 27:46, and about the ninth hour, this is when he was crucified, with a loud voice, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we see in this things that intensity, it's some like some passion, there's fervor. It's just like, I don't know, when something really good happens, I don't know whether it's sport for you or whatever, or I don't know, last time you actually screamed at the TV, whether it was like, you know, you were, thank God those girls got evicted off of my kitchen rules. Yes, you know, like everyone was just like, yes, it's about time they're gone. Thank you, Jesus. It's like they're so annoying and arrogant and rude. They should have gone a long time ago. And like we get so excited. No one else did that. Come on. Are you with me there? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you've lost nothing. You've missed out on nothing. But it's just a little bit of vocal noise in our household when certain people got evicted off the show. So it was good. But, you know, what is it that kind of like blows your hair back? What is it that kind of you get excited about that you get, woo, it's like, yeah, or you kind of fire up at? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, if you ever watch football with Michael, it's like, honestly, it's an experience you probably could do without. But it's like, you know, it's passion, it's fervor, it's super high unrealistic expectations of a football team that fails to deliver again and again, year after year. But he is just like, you know, it's all right. Really? See? There you go. See? There you go. Doesn't take much, does it? But like, see what comes out? It's like he's got to express himself with passion and fervor. And we also see, you know, Jesus here with loud cries and also tears, which represents that Jesus' heart was very much in what he was crying out, what he was saying. And even when, you know, Lazarus was pronounced dead, and at the grave of Lazarus, we see Jesus wept. And we know that Jesus wept over Jerusalem in Luke 19:41. That Jesus was like, yeah, he poured out, but there was so much heart. He prayed with almost every fiber in his being. And, you know, the Bible does talk about this. I mean, if you are really, really prefer the silent stuff, got to be honest, heaven ain't going to be that quiet. It's, you know, when you've got thousands upon thousands of angels, a massive choir singing holy, 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 I think it's going to be loud. And what does the Bible say about just making noise? There's so many references, but some would be, Psalm 33:3, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. See, our musicians have an excuse to play loud. It's biblical. It's Psalm 33:3 is the mandate to play skillfully, though. It's got to be skillfully with a loud noise. And thank you, Jesus, that we have skillful musicians. Get myself out of that hole. Psalm 98:4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Make a joyful noise. Make a loud noise. So it's not just about silence. Have a listen to how the people responded to God in Ezra 3, verses 10 to 14. It says, "When the builders completed the foundation of the Lord's temple, the priests put on their robes and took their places to blow their trumpets. And the Levites, descendants of Asaph, clashed their cymbals to praise the Lord, just as King David had prescribed. With praise and thanks, they sang this song to the Lord. He is so good. His faithful love for Israel endures forever. Then all the people gave a great shout, praising the Lord because the foundation of the Lord's temple had been laid. But many of the older priests, Levites, and other leaders who had seen the first temple wept aloud when they saw the new temple's foundation. The others, however, were shouting for joy. The joyful shouting and weeping mingled together in a loud noise that could be heard far in the distance." So here are the people coming together, and it's like they couldn't hold it in. There was just something so exciting, something wonderful happening, that they just had to express their thanks. They had to express their praise to God. And so, you know, today I just want to encourage us that, you know, we've got to embrace the silence. But I believe that there's also a time, there's a space, there's a place when we've got to lift up our voice. There's some reasons for that. Number one, the devil doesn't know what you're thinking. He can plant seeds into your mind of doubt and accusations and try to put condemnation and guilt on you. But he doesn't know what you're thinking. Only God knows what you're thinking. But what we can do is we can tell him what we're thinking. Let me tell you what I'm thinking, buddy. You might come against me with this and that, but let me just tell you who the boss is here. I'm declaring Jesus Christ as Lord of my family. I'm declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord of our church. Devil, listen up. I'm proclaiming it out into the heavenly realms that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I don't care what you bring against me, because the gates of hell are not going to prevail against his church. And so, like, he doesn't know I'm thinking that, so I've got to tell him. And sometimes I get loud and I get vocal about it, especially when it comes to my family. Because, you know, like, there's, when we, if we want to, like Michael said, if we want to actually make an impact and make a difference, we've got to start to pray. If we want a mediocre, apathetic Christian life, don't pray. But when we start to pray and we start to storm heaven, it comes with opposition. And the reality is that myself as a pastor, and for Nat, you know, there's spiritual, like, there are days when it's just like there's this spiritual battle just going on. And it's like at night, whether it's like just randomly, you know, kids having nightmares and different stuff. You know, that's just what happens in my house. I go, you know, I'm not tolerating this. I'm going to let the devil know what I think about his pathetic attempts at trying to come against me and my family. And I don't have to tolerate that. You don't have to tolerate that. Whether it's in your business, your relationships, or wherever it might be. So, you know, one of the reasons why we've got to be a loud people is that we can actually let the devil know what we're thinking and remind him of God's word and promises, like Jemima referred to just now. You know, another reason why we should speak our words out is Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So there are times when you're kind of like, you know, frustrated, or you're not sure or whatever, we can just start to claim, whether it's the Lectio Divina stuff that we said, we actually read the scriptures out loud, not just inside your mind. And don't you just love Bluetooth? I just think it's just the best thing, because in your car now, you can be just crazy praying and people just think you're having a conversation on your Bluetooth. Who cares what people think anyway? But, like, you know, now you can just pray, you can worship, you can do whatever it wants, and people will be sitting next to you. In days gone by, pre-Bluetooth and in-car phone things and stuff, people used to look and go, just weird, you know. Now it doesn't matter. We can pray, we can sing, we can do whatever, and it's normal. It's like, wow, you got no excuse in your car now. Bit harder on the train and tram, I know, just to let it all out and be loud. But more power to you if you feel the unction to function in that way, then, like, you know, go for it. But, like, faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Why? Because we all understand the power of words. How did God create the universe and everything? The authority, the power came through his spoken word. So we, filled the Spirit of God, we have the capacity and, dare I say, the ability to speak things that are not as if they were. Some of us need to catch on that you can begin to. Words create worlds. And it's got nothing to do with some inner power within me. The only power that's resident within me is his presence His Spirit that comes to live in my life. And it's because of that, I can begin to speak into my situation and just go, you know what, the situation with Ruby and April, you know what, Father, I'm not going to take that. My girls are going to grow up, they're going to be passionate followers of Jesus Christ. They're going to be women of integrity and purity and holiness, Father. They're going to be leaders wherever they go. They're going to be strong and they're going to be courageous. They're going to be brave. They're not going to be influenced. They're going to be influencers. And I just speak that out in my house. I pray it over their beds. I pray it into the situation. I pray stuff into the life of this church. And I say, Father, we're not going to have weak, pathetic Christians in our church. We're not going to have people that just come on a Sunday and then go out on Monday and live a totally different lifestyle. We're going to be Christians that are no compromise no matter what we face, and we're just going to go out and people will know that people from Compass Church are serious about their faith and they don't stuff around. Okay, thanks for that. I feel underwhelmed. But like, we can begin to speak out the things that we want to see happen. You might not feel it. Sometimes you've got to confess it, and sometimes, you know, you've got to start to believe it and the feelings will come. Because if you're waiting for the right time when everything feels right or is right, probably ain't going to happen. Sometimes you just got to put your faith into action. Sometimes you've got to actually speak it out so your own faith gets built up. I can be feeling pancake-ish and flat, and I begin to pray in my lounge room, and I begin to sort of walk around in the office or whatever it is, and then suddenly something begins to get stirred up inside, and I just go, wow, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Something's stirring and shifting inside of me, and within 10, 15 minutes, half an hour, the Phil that walks out of the room is a different Phil than the one that walked in. And it's because I'm just activating this thing of just speaking out loud. Have a listen. As I said, you know, we've got to call things into being, that which is not, as if it were. In Romans 4:17, it says, as it is written, I've made you, speaking of Abraham, a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. And I believe we have the authority, because we've been filled with the Spirit of God, to activate that in our lives. And I'm a living testimony for that. But, you know, there are personal advantages, as I've said, to praying out loud. You know, something begins to shift and change. And I want to encourage you, you know, if you've never gone down to a beach, or if you've never gone out to a paddock in the country or something like that, and just get stuff off your chest, just tribal, just like, God, I can't believe that. Like, God, thank you so much. It's so therapeutic. It's like, just to get it, like, just express loud. Some of you, like, you know, that this is not your personality or whatever. You're the ones that really need to do it. Just like, I reckon we'll be able to hear you. If you go to like Wangaratta, we'll hear you. Just all of a sudden, once you get started, there'll be no stopping you. But it's like, it's just like, it's great just to be able to declare the praises of our God and let the devil know. But also corporately, together as a church, whether that's in life groups or prayer meetings or praying with somebody even at a cafe. It's about, you know, it's about getting around faith-filled people. If I want to grow in my faith, if I'm at B and I want to get to C, I've got to talk to somebody who's at D, who's already been there, who can encourage me, can challenge me and go, come on, Phil. Like, hey, why don't you think about this? Why don't you try that? Why don't you do this or that? I'm like, yep, great, I'll do it. And I have those people that I go to in my life that I just go, hey, I want to grow, I want to learn. I want Compass to grow and learn and be a greater influence for Jesus. So what do I have to do? And they challenge me. I get around faith-filled people. And then when we start to pray, I mean, just being around people that are just faith-filled, you know, believers, and they're not denying they haven't got their stuff, and they're not saying that their lives are perfect, but you get around some faith-filled people and they start to pray and you're just like, that's so cool. Something begins to shift and change in your life. If you haven't had that experience yet, do it. You don't have to pray out loud, but just come to a pre-service prayer or make time to come to a prayer meeting or in your life group, just set that time aside and just begin to pray and wait on God and see what the Holy Spirit begins to do and the words he begins to show and the visions and pictures and different ways in which he wants to speak to you. But something happens as we begin to pray. A family that prays together stays together. A church that prays together stays together. And so, like, just encourage us together to, you know, get off our butts if we need to. And just get involved and engaged in prayer. And like Josh said, the first time you pray out loud, it's just like, you know, kind of, it's just weird. Because it's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing we're trying to do it in our natural bodies. And so to engage in prayer doesn't always come naturally or easily. But it's like riding a bike. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. And it's like, then you begin to realize the power and the benefits of what comes out of it is just fantastic. And look, at the end of the day, at some point, James tells us that faith without works is dead. that our faith needs to be actioned. And maybe, as I said, some of us need to sit in the silence, not the naughty corner, but the silence corner, just a little bit longer. We're talking about this week. How cool would it be as an adult to get sent to the naughty corner? Is it, you know, for what, 1 minute for every year? I'm 41. Go to the naughty corner, Phil, 41 minutes. Yes, thank you. Go and just kill it, have sleep. But like, you know, maybe that. But maybe this area of just praying. Something that you haven't done. But that's what our life groups are so important for, is to encourage you and to see you stretched. Is there a song that kind of comes to mind when we talk about, see if we can find this. Go for it, Nick. Anyone know this song? You are not going to think of this song the same ever again.
Here we go.
Let's get loud.
Oh, there you go. Too many people know this song. It's scary. If you ever hear that song again, just think loud. Just think loud. Pray loud. You know, that's actually, the lyrics to the song aren't bad after all that. It's about living life to the full and whatever. But, you know, if you want to live your life, live it all the way. Don't waste it. Every feeling, every beat can be so very sweet. You got to taste it. You got to do it. You got to pray. No, it doesn't say that. It just, I'm putting that in there just to make it today. But you got to pray. Do it your way. I'm rhyming. I'm busting out rhymes here this morning. Break it out. Yeah, no, ain't going to happen. All right. But this morning, I just, you know, just wanted to present another way in which you can pray. And that, you know, silence is beautiful, and so is, like, I think, brings great delight. We know the power of words, that when somebody encourages you, when somebody blesses you, when somebody just tells you genuinely, sincerely, you've done a good job, and that, hey, I really appreciate you as a friend, and they just speak those words to you, and what it does for you. And I believe that God is perfect, complete in every way, but I believe we can bless the Lord with the words that we use. And I believe that it's even better when we speak it out, because number one, the devil is hearing us what we think, but he's also hearing us declare the praises of him who is just Almighty God. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And so this morning, you know, I pray that you can take something out of what Josh has said, or maybe what Jemima has said, and encourage you that, you know, praying out loud is a good thing. For crying out loud, would you just listen to what I'm saying? Give it a go. Have a crack. And I think the beautiful thing about our life groups is that's a safe place where no one's going to judge you. No one's going to kind of like hold up a scorecard at the end of your prayer. Just go, you know what? It was good, but was it great? No, just good. You know, but, you know, it's just that place where we should be encouraging and supporting one another. And just close with that thought that Jemima says. You know, Michael and I, he'll text me every day saying, prayer done. I'll get his message of what he's reading and stuff. That accountability thing is so, so important. That if you don't have that person in your life that you would like to be accountable to, in all honesty, I'm more than happy to get your text message and just go, hey, or I'll send you one just to go, hey, you know, how are you going with your prayer? And it's not to be judgmental. It's just like, hey, we're cheering one another on. Just being there to support one another. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. We just thank you, Lord, that you know us better than we know ourselves. That, Lord, you created us. You designed us. Father, you know exactly the best way on how to communicate, to speak to us, to show us things. And, Father, you love it. Like Jemima said, you love it when we come and just sit with you, and we are with you, and there's different ways that we can do that. And I pray here this morning, whether it's through Acts or taking some of those things that Jemima has said, or just being reminded this morning, just praying out loud, Father, it blesses your heart. I pray that we'd be a people that are truly God pleasers and not people pleasers. That, Father God, we could look past ourselves, that we wouldn't get apathetic, wouldn't get lazy, but it's the consistency in coming to you, Lord God, that will enrich and empower our lives for us to be all that you want us to be and to do all that you've called us to do. So I pray your blessing over your people today. Father God, as we are praying right now, we do want to lift up Misha to you, Father God. Lord God, we just want to stand against this illness, this sickness, Father God, that is limiting her. That, Father God, this problem is not too big for you. And we just pray right now in the name of Jesus. We pray just your healing power in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those that are just under the weather with flus and colds and whatnot. Lord, we just pray you would fast track that healing process. That, Lord God, for Compass Church, may we just be enveloped and covered this coming winter and flu season. Lord God, may your protection be over your people, Lord God, that it wouldn't be able to come near us, Father God, because of your grace and protection. Father, right now, we just pray for Lester. And if there's anyone near Lester, do you want to just go and lay your hands on him? We're just going to pray for his ankle right now. Father, we just pray for Lester right now. We speak to this ankle. Lord God, we thank you for the doctor's diagnoses and whatnot. But this morning, Father, we speak to the ligaments. We speak to that ankle joint. We speak to the muscles surrounding. We speak to that swelling, that inflammation. We speak to the pain. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And according to your word in Mark 16, through the laying on of hands right now, let Lester be healed in Jesus' name. We speak healing into his body. That, Father God, your hand is not short, that you can do this, Father God, and we proclaim Jesus as Lord of this situation, Heavenly Father. We give you the praise. Lord God, we just pray for the other people in the life of Compass Church. Think of the Karens, we think of Anthony, we think of different people that need you right now, Heavenly Father, in different ways and forms. And we just ask, Lord God, that you would reach in and you would touch and you would bring healing and wholeness and comfort, peace and protection. Lord Jesus, we pray. Heavenly Father, just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around, just before we close this service this morning, this is something that I have to do. I feel compelled to do it, and that is I want to give every person in this room the opportunity to give their life over to Jesus. We talk about having a relationship with God. We talk about being a friend of God, and the only way that that can happen is through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, not through anything we can do. We can never be smart enough, rich enough, strong enough, connected enough to build a bridge to God. God was the one that built the bridge for us through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus. And today, we've all fallen short, the Bible says, and are in need of a Savior. And so this morning, if there's anyone here, you've never given your life, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, you don't have that friendship, that relationship with Almighty God, the best decision you could ever make with your life is to ask Jesus Christ to come in and start that relationship, that friendship with God. If you would like to do that today, no one looking around, can I just ask that you slip your hand up? And I would love to pray with you after this service is done. Yeah, God bless you. Is there anybody else this morning you can put your hand out? Is there anybody else? You go, yep, Phil, that's me. Is there anybody here this morning? You go, you know what? There has been times in my life where I've been madly, passionately, unashamedly in love with Jesus. And you couldn't keep me quiet, but just stuff, life has happened. And things have come my way, and I've just found myself not running to Jesus, but running away from Jesus, doing my own thing. And today you want to just say, God, I'm coming back to you. I'm just bringing my life back to you. Once I was found, but now I'm lost, and I want to be found in you again. Is there anybody here today who say, Phil, that's me? Anyone wants to recommit their life and say, Jesus, I just want to declare you as Lord of my life? Yep, God bless you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Best decision. Thank you, Lord. Can we just stand and we're going to pray. For those that raised their hand this morning, anyone who wanted to, and then we're going to close the service. And if you would like prayer, I'm going to invite you to come down the front. Can't come to everybody, and I don't know if you do want prayer or not. So just going to open this area here just for people to come and receive prayer. It might not have anything to do with what was spoken about. You've just got a need in your life where you want to come and stand in the gap for somebody else that you know needs just a touch from God or God's help in their life. Then, you know, just encourage you to come and our leaders will pray. But for those that raise their hands this morning, can we just pray this prayer? Everybody together as a family. Let's pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I know I've done wrong. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me and that you rose again. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins. Come and be Lord of my life. Come and be my best friend. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live a life that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.